Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We will be talking about plagiarism today. We have to talk about the story of Claudine Gay, the CEO, the president of Harvard. They're going after her, and I'm sure that there's 10,000 ideas with which I disagree with this girl. I'm sure she's woke. I'm sure she's liberal. But I think that the center-right is going after her for the wrong reasons. And I think they're lying in the process. This idea that she is a plagiarist, I've not been convinced by the evidence that was shown. And so we need to talk about this because it's important. It's important to understand why are a bunch of people like Christopher Ruffo feeling like they have to go against Claudine Gay this week, particularly. Because no one gave a shit about this girl's PhD dissertation ever. Not even probably her own PhD advisor. You know, her PhD thesis never mattered to the entire planet. And suddenly this week there is increased scrutiny. And there is a reason. There is increased scrutiny. And it has to do with international jury. Because here we have something. It's important to understand the context why they're going after her. Harvard is a Jewish university. Harvard has named a black woman as president of their Jewish university to show, oh my God, look at us. Look at how much more evolved we are and how inclusive of minorities. Of course, you can't give fair treatment to Asians and their IQ and their test results, so you punish them by race. You can't give fair treatment to whites, so they feel excluded and they don't subscribe to Harvard as much. But they want to show their openness, and I think that this Claudine Gay being at the top of Harvard is a form of a symbolic display by jury to show the Black Jew Alliance, basically. Now, why does it matter? Because one of the things that the Jews love to do is to get the non-Jews to try to raise the ante against each other in a form of, I'm more Zionist than you are. Oh no, I'm more pro-Israel than you are. Oh no, I'm kneeling to Israel. Oh no, I'm sucking Israel's dick. And we have to be careful not to be brought into a mob phenomena of the kind that is only aimed at division, lies, fooling, and ultimately it serves only one set of interest, the Israeli interest in this case. Because why is it that Claudine Gay is attracting increased scrutiny of the mob this week? It's because she was one of the presidents of the big universities in front of Congress, who to a question, they answered honestly and they answered truthfully. That question was, if someone was to call for the genocide of Jews, would it be a violation of your harassment policy? Now, this is very important. The devil is in the detail. It's like if you were coming to me and saying, JF, there are parking laws in your city. If someone was to call for the genocide of the Jews, would it be a violation of your parking laws? My answer would have to be no. Someone calling for the genocide of the Jews has violated not a single parking law. Because it's not a violation of parking law. It may be a violation of hate speech in Canada, and it's not a violation of anything in the US because of the First Amendment. But it is correct to say that calling for the genocide of a people is not a particular violation of a specific policy. And they even didn't go that far. I would go that far because They said it depends on the context. And, oh, have they triggered the Jews with this response? It depends on the context. But it's true. It does depend on the context. if someone is making statements as part of an art performance and they are asked to play as part of their theatrical performance the role of Adolf Hitler, and they go overboard, they want to present Hitler as this evil genocider, and as the actor that they are, they perform and they call for the genocide of the Jew. That would be a context in which it's not a violation of harassment policy. Artistic context. So when these people, when Claudine Gay in front of Congress said, it depends on the context, she was absolutely correct. The Jews are over-triggered by this because they want to make an example out of her. Oh my God, you dared not find them guilty of doing something wrong before they even did it. You dared suggest that there were rules in this university that don't encompass appeals to genocide of the Jew. Well, of course, there must be rules that have nothing to do with you guys. So this is the context in which somehow a bunch of internet slurs and regular centrist Republicans and people like Christopher Ruffo, who are in the pro-education, parental liberty movement, very much close to Ron DeSantis, have decided to participate in a Zio lynching. They've decided, this girl said something that the Jews didn't like. We're just going to lynch her. And the whole finding that she is a plagiarist is part of this lynching. This is what you need to understand. Now, once you understand this, you must approach everything that these people claim very carefully, because they are deceptive at times. And you will see, I think, that we have a case here of an article, a hit piece that was written about her that is just filled with lies and deception and things hidden to make you... Anyone who reads just the article will come out thinking that she's a plagiarist. But it's not the case, because Papa JF does research. Papa JF is not content with little graphical segments. See, when I see dot, 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 in a newspaper, I know that this dot, dot, dot hides something. And Papa JF went to search down the road of these dot, dot, dot. And what I find is we are being fooled by a bunch of anonymous internet slurs who have decided to make it look like Claudine Gay is a plagiarist, all of it for the purpose of Zio lynching her for not being kneeling enough to her Jewish partner in this wonderful Black Jewish alliance. How is it going for you guys? How is it going for you guys, this alliance? You're enjoying the marriage? Harvard refuses to fire Gay, instead issues statement in her defense. So now these lynchers are discontent because the Harvard board is seeing through their bullshit, and they're like, well, no, we're not gonna find her guilty of plagiarism. You guys have not given enough support. Devin Stack was commenting very pertinently on this case. He said they could have gone after these anti-white diversity hirees before they pissed off the Jews. They could have, but they didn't, because fuck you, Whitey. So, you know, there are a dozen shows I could make, I'm sure. I don't even care about her personal beliefs and her political beliefs, but I'm sure there would be a dozen show of hours and hours of disagreement with her beliefs. And yes, she's very probably a diversity hire of some sort. She probably got advantaged by the system through some path at some point in her life because she was Black. But let's leave all of this aside. If you're going to call her a plagiarist, you need to bring the goods to Papa JF. Papa JF is an artist. My plagiarism trigger is on tilt. I'm ready to find plagiarism, but you need to give me my sweet, sweet. You need to give me one example. You need to give it to me. My trigger is incomparable across the whole world. I may be one of the most untilt plagiarism finder in the world. But see, that is an example of how this is turning into a mob phenomenon. Hi, Harvard. Keeping Claudine Gay as president means you condone anti-Semitism, racism, and plagiarism. Elite institution, my ass. You are nothing more than a corrupt Marxist indoctrination factory that traffics in evil. Because the underlying frustration that the Jews are experiencing here is to not find people ripping out their shirts at the idea that there are in the student population of the US Arabs. Oh my God, they are Hamas sympathizer. You should pursue them, throw the book at them. You should pursue them with harassment charges. You should shut down their free speech. Isn't it what our whole alliance was about? And they're seeing that there are a bunch of agents within the academic bureaucracy that are not so warm to this idea. And now that the pro-Israeli are full mask off, these bureaucrats are not so willing to join a bunch of genocidal maniacs, you know, and start basically throwing the book of bureaucratic rules at all Muslim students. But this is what they would have wanted. So when she says, if you don't fire Claudine Gay, you are anti-Semitic, because Claudine Gay has said that, well, genocide may, you know, calling for genocide, dependent on the context, could or could not be harassment. And she was totally correct. I would ask to Monica Crowley, do you or do you not think that calling for genocide as part of a theatrical performance constitutes harassment by the standard of the university? Is theater illegal at Harvard? Raised Fist says, why can't you let the blacks and Jews fight against each other? Like the Gaza situation, not our problem. Enjoy the show. I think we should. I think we should in many situations. But I think that in this particular case, we have an intervention possible to keep that fight up. Because if you don't defend Claudine Gay today, they will fire her. They will put an even more Zionist kneeler instead of her. And they will have won. So if you want that tension to continue, you need to maintain Claudine Gay in place. You know, she's not the based hero we wanted, but she's she's not the based hero we deserved, but she's the based hero we needed, and that showed up. She's the only one available right now. So yes, that's the way I see it. Yes, let these fights happen. Let the inconsistencies of the Jewish-Black Alliance show themselves in full. But at times, that will mean siding with the blacks. And at times, it will mean coming and shutting down the internet anonymous slurs who we know who they're working for, you know. Resign in disgrace, they say. Ackman takes aim at Harvard president as PhD plagiarism allegations appear. Bill Ackman, please see my letter today to Harvard governing board of director. So that was 2 days ago. The board of director has now answered, we don't give a shit, we're keeping her. Dear members of the Harvard governing board, in her short tenure as president, Claudine Gay has done more damage to the reputation of Harvard University than any individual in our nearly 500-year history. Because of her failure to condemn the most vile and barbaric terrorism the world has ever seen. So see, it's all about this. You think these people would give a shit if it was about the plagiarism? It's about the fact that she didn't side strongly enough for Israel. They would have wanted her to say, oh my God, the Jews are suffering. Oh my God, we need to pursue those Muslim students with everything we got. Yes, harassment. Yes, parking spots law. Yes, tickets. Whatever we got, we will throw it at them. That's what they wanted. So ultimately, what is the great sin of Claudine Gay? The great sin of Claudine Gay is not to have acted as a devoted ally in the Black Jewish Alliance as the Jews would have wanted. This is what's happening. And so they're making up stuff about plagiarism. That's why. So let's go through it. Christopher Rufo. It started a lot around his tweet thread. I saw it 2 days ago. I didn't cover it in detail on the show. I may have mentioned it quick, but I was like, this is insufficient to me. This doesn't look serious. because every example that I've looked at, I found the citation somewhere. It may not be exactly at the place where Christopher Rufo expected it, but it's somewhere, and it's like, oh yeah, sometimes you cite someone, and then you do two or three sentences on that citation. And the official rules will often tell you that you have to cite at every sentence, but at some point it's like, oh yeah, and they discovered that, and they discovered this, and they said that, and they have reported that. It's clear for everyone when you say they have reported that you're still talking about the same researchers that you've already cited. And so I'm like, okay, Christopher Rufo here is being autistic. Why does he want to go so hard after her? See, right here, already as a plagiarist researcher, I'm like, holy fuck, what are you trying to pass to me here? Because I see original source, Bobo and Gilliam, 1990. And my eyes now turn to the supposedly plagiarizing content. And what is the first fucking thing I see? Bobo and Gilliam, 1990. Okay. So you are expecting me to find that this paragraph is violative of is a plagiarized copy of this, but the quote to Bobo and Gilliam is the first series of letters that my eyes encounter. So Bobo and Gilliam stands as the most complete research to date in this area, blah blah blah, using a 1987 survey. So that's the quote, using 1987 sample survey. So his argument is to say, well, first, I mean, I'm guessing, I'm trying to make an argument for him. His argument is, well, see, this sentence, for example, in red, is not quoting with parentheses. And also, this sentence is not quoting with parentheses. But see, there's a number four here. I would like to have a greater sample of this text because I would suspect that reference number four is exactly what these people are asking for. Now, another one of their arguments is that technically, when you copy-paste the sentence, Harvard considers it a plagiarism, even if you cited the person. So you have to paraphrase in your own words, or you have to put quotes. Now, you could argue, okay, it's a technical, maybe the best practice here would have been to put quotes. But she said they conclude. they conclude. So she added her own words, they conclude, and then she properly represented their conclusion and then included a reference here and here. To me, that is enough. That is not deceptive. You can argue all sorts of technicalities around what is best practice. But at worst, what you've identified here is not perfect practice writing. Even to me, it's not even that. But suppose you want to grant as much you want to Chris Ruffo, that would be it. Jeff, have you ever heard of Eric Klopper? He gave a lecture at Harvard in 2018 on why circumcision is a scam. He then got fired from his job at Harvard, and his lecture was called an anti-Semitic rant. Despite the fact that Klopper is Jewish, he later sued Harvard and lost. Yeah, someone talked to me about this guy recently, and I Googled it, and holy shit, his speech was so beautiful. Apparently, this guy comes from the theater domain, and it was kind of an art performance, but it was like, holy shit, this guy was standing there in front of the Harvard crowd and saying, I'm pissed at my Jewish father for circumcision. I'm pissed at my father for circumcising me. And holy shit, it was so emotional. Go check it out. Eric Klopper, Harvard speech. He is chest naked during the speech. I don't know exactly why. But that was an intense performance. Beautiful. And yes, they smeared him in the media after this. Jan sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, your insights on the tribe has helped me set my businesses up in a way to avoid future vulnerabilities. There's now a tribal self-selection out as manipulation attempts meet a brick wall. This is very important information for navigating the world correctly, and I wish I knew this when I was younger. Oh yeah, when you are JF-pilled, you can see the parasites come to you. You can see their strategy and they're trying to munch onto you. Oh yeah, I'm glad that you have learned specifically from this. And Michael Monfort has an unrelated super chat. I'll read it when I'm done making my review of the plagiarism allegation. So he says, Gay repeats this violation throughout her document. But that is... that is how everyone has to write at some point. You just cannot add the reference to series of two, three sentences all the time. So here, you know, there are citations. They're just unhappy that the citations are at the wrong place. For example, here, Howell and Fagan, 1988. Well, they say that the original source from which she plagiarized is Howell and Fagan, 1988. Are you fucking kidding me? And the worst thing is her citation is within the sentence, but it's before a semicolon. So that is autistic, Christopher Ruffo. To claim that, oh, well, she cited before the semicolon, so she had no right to keep on writing about this citation. That is overly autistic, unwarranted, absolute crap. And it's like, oh yeah, well, when this is your threshold for plagiarism, you're going to find a million instances of plagiarism, okay? I'm telling you. Here, Swain. Gay appears to have lifted material from scholar Carol Swain in one passage summarizing the distinction between descriptive representation and substantive representation. She copies the phrasing and language nearly verbatim from Swain's book. Gay's use of Swain's material is a straightforward violation of the university's rule, which state that one must give credit to the author of the source material, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, this sentence is very much quoted. And here's my problem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's about 15 different articles quoted here. So certainly, this is not a case where Gay, Claudine Gay, has been trying to represent this sentence as hers. She is clearly thinking that in these references, you will find a reference to this content right here. So what's possible, in my view, there's two possibilities. Perhaps one of these authors actually quoted Swain, and she quoted this author, or perhaps Swain plagiarized one of these authors, and she appropriately cited these authors. But I'm not seeing a plagiarism by Claudine Gay here. Perhaps an error. Perhaps she forgot Swain in this series of references. But you would have to go through each of these references and prove to me that this sentence isn't in one of these references. It's not enough to find some other reference in 1995, because you may just have discovered that Swain was a plagiarist here. Swain could very well have taken these words from one of these people, and Claudine Gay would be the one correctly citing them. So no, I'm rejecting this example because it is not properly documented. You need to go through these 15 references. You need to scan them, search them, control F them. You need to be serious about your search. Here he finds, well, another case of plagiarism of Swain. Nearly identical language between this and this source. But she quoted Swain. She quotes Swain in 1997 in the next sentence. So when you make two sentences in a row, sometimes you will put a reference that actually represents the whole paragraph or the last few sentences. That is fine to me. Now, the question is, did she misattribute to Swain 1997 instead of Swain 1995? Well, you would have to do that work, Christopher Ruffo. Look at the 1997 paper. Perhaps that sentence was also in the 1997 paper, because there is such a thing as self-plagiarism and authors just copy-pasting their own work. But in any case, that doesn't look like Claudine Gay trying to appropriate the content. It looks like Claudine Gay, again, citing, but in a different sentence than the one you expected. So, all in all, I'm not convinced by anything we've reviewed up to now. And then there's this guy. Well, and then there's this guy who points me to this Free Beacon article. And when you have a big hit piece like this, I don't know the Free Beacon, but they look like some sort of serious outlet. This is definitely plagiarism. Harvard University president Claudine Gay copied entire paragraphs from others' academic work and claimed them as her own. And this is the same strategy being deployed. It's the same crap as Ruffo. And just to give you an example, I've researched this example because I picked an example at random, because at this point I was like, okay, I'm being deceived here. Because notice how in this article they use dot, dot, dot. They don't show full segments. Like, I don't get to know, well, maybe she cited them before, maybe she cited them after. So I picked a random example in the article, and I researched it in depth. Here's what I found. So they claim, look, if you were to look at just these graphs, wow, this sentence is plagiarizing this sentence. This sentence is plagiarizing this sentence. This fits with this. This fits with this. So clearly, some copy-pasting plagiarism has been occurring. And you look at this place here, there is no quote. There is no quote. So that starts being serious plagiarism. But I searched in depth. When you get into the actual article, this is what they claim is the source plagiarized. So that is Orr et al. Orr et al. Orr, Fiennes, Jacob, Beecroft, Lieben, Kling. MTO was not designed to address issues of racial or ethnic concentration directly. And here we have the work, the manuscript work of Claudine Gay. MTO demonstration was not designed to address issues of racial and ethnic concentration directly. Now, you will notice, this is a manuscript, so it's not a final publication. And in manuscripts, we typically leave places where we say, okay, this will be where you place figure one, and you're going to arrange this paragraph somewhere on the side of this other paragraph. And look at what I found. Just look at how much research I had to do. Okay, I'm going to scroll the mouse up one paragraph. She was citing Orr et al. In this segment. So you have them presenting it like, oh, look, she ripped off all of this and she integrated it without citing. But that's a graphic edition by the Washington Free Beacon. That is a trick. It's a trickery. The reality of her manuscript is that it was a text, and she probably had nothing to do with the editing and the positioning on screen. She was really writing in a Word document, and she was placing her figures in that manuscript, and she had cited properly Orr et al. 2003. And so I had a guy come to me and say, Jeff, I hope you are solid tonight because I'm pretty convinced that there's plagiarism. Well, I'm not convinced at all. When I do the most summary research on each of these cases, and I always end up finding the reference one paragraph before, one paragraph after, you guys are on a political quest of cancel culture. And you have to stop, like you're unhealthy in your fucking mind. So then there's this guy who contacted me. And he said, JF, I have the goods. I have our thesis. And he showed me this. And I had to question him because I didn't have access to our thesis. And he was kind enough, Rand Fargmar, to send me her thesis through email. But I received it 10 minutes before the show began, so I didn't have time to look at this particular case. But something tells me that if all of these other cases are not true plagiarism, I'm probably going to find something similar for this one. But still, he says, well, this is an article from a research publication, and she would have copy-pasted this part, and it's on page 44 of our thesis. I've had just 10 minutes to investigate this claim. I don't know. You know, sometimes also you have to explore the possibility. If all of the rest is bullshit, this could be her one error where she may have forgotten. It doesn't look like in this thesis that she's trying to make it look like it's her own work. I'm reading these paragraphs, and there's this whole feeling that she's really reporting about the research of someone else. In the context, I would expect a reference. Now, it's true that there's no reference here in this particular paragraph, and I've looked, just like I did in other cases, I've looked around this paragraph, and there doesn't seem to be the reference to the work. However, you have to be careful with these things because it may not be the work that you expect that will be quoted. Sometimes it's going to be the work of someone else totally, and you realize, oh my God, there's a triangle of plagiarism. It wasn't Claudine Gay making the plagiarism. It was her citing properly this other guy, but this other guy was plagiarizing this other guy. So anyways, that seems to be, as my investigation ended just before the show began, that seems to be the only case where maybe you would have a claim here. But that's very little compared to the amount of shit that I've seen pulled over our head. And also, I didn't have full time to investigate this one. I wouldn't be surprised that I find an explanation for this one tonight, later after the show. Because it's very long. You have to read all of the pages before. You have to understand the context. I didn't have time to do this in 10 minutes. But overall, my conclusion for now is no plagiarism. Claudine Gay is being targeted for not sucking Zionist dick strong enough. And you guys should be ashamed of yourselves, the Christopher Rufo. And someone was asking on, and that's a very relevant question. Someone was asking on the regular chat, JF, if it's really about Zionism and Israel, why is it that the Christopher Rufos of this world, because Christopher, that seems like a Christian name, and I don't know, maybe he's Jewish, but it does look like he's just a white Republican. And to that, so why would he get into this fight? Well, let me tell you, there will be, you will see a lot of bought out whites in the coming years. Because people are being awakened at Jewish ethnocentric interest. They are taking note. And more what you will see is the George Soros of this world, they will eventually pass through side. They will find whites to do their bidding. Because at some point people notice way too much. And there's going to be a point at which the noticing will be so strong that they're going to need whites to carry their message. And so I don't know if it's the case for Christopher Rufo. Unfortunately, even if you cancel out all of the possibilities that these were hit pieces that were ordered, that they're just doing business, basically. They're producing crap on this girl because they're paid for it. But putting aside this hypothesis, I believe that within white Republicans, centrist and center-right Republicans, there is this, a little bit like what Charlie Kirk was doing a few years ago, this, I want to kneel more than you to Israel, because I want to show how much more I love the Jews than you do. And you saw Trump do some of it. So it's not because you're not Jewish that you won't be brought in into this whole Zion kneeling type of reaction. And I think what we have here is a form of a moral panic, of display of allegiance to Israeli interest. And it's showing up into a circus of deception and exaggeration. And so I'm happy that tonight I was able to correct this. John Drake says, there is nothing new about this. Lots of Christophers on the payroll. Yes. Yes. Lots of Christophers. On this day, 13 years ago, Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin, disappeared. Last active, December 13, 2010, 4:45 p.m. What a great man. A man who has disappeared and who has left us with such a revolution in the finance sector. It's still having impacts today. I'm stunned by what this man has done and how he has disappeared also. And he never came back for glory nor for recognition. He just did what he had to do for the internet, and then he left. And maybe he died. Yeah, maybe he died. Christmas is on December 19th for me this year. CoinKite has told me that they would deliver the Block Clock Mini to me on Tuesday, December 19th. I can't wait. I'm excited like a child waiting for the gifts to be unwrapped under the Christmas tree. One thing that I found out, I'm super excited about the custom capability. You have a push capability. You can basically control this clock by Wi-Fi, HTTP, IP interaction. You can even push fresh data to it. I'm super excited about the idea of perhaps putting my follower count on Odyssey. That would be fun, wouldn't it? I love that you can communicate with this clock and send the data through curl, command line curl. This is built for me. It's like they knew they would excite people like me with this. You can send it curl requests. Can you believe this? And so it's going to come in 7 days from now. Super excited. One thing that I discovered about it that is very disappointing to me is the refresh rate of this clock is limited to 5 minutes. And you know that the screen can do better than this because they have animation capabilities. When they show a new number, it shows some white flash and then the new number show up. So definitely the E-Ink is capable of handling much higher refresh rate. And yet they locked it by software to 5 minutes. I'm not proud of you, CoinKite. What the fuck is this? Did you try higher refresh rates? Did it really break the clock? Please make a firmware for me that will have a 5 seconds refresh rate. I don't need the animation. It's going to be very simple refreshing. Or give me 15 seconds. But not 5 minutes. 5 minutes is ridiculous. Anyways, I will still enjoy the curl capability request. I will have my dedicated server pew, 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 sending information to the clock. It's going to be awesome. Artist, visual artist of the chat, get prepared. We have a woman here who is taking pictures of a tender, chicken tender meal that she finds quite refined. This guy didn't know what he was in for. The face of the guy. Yeah, bro, this is what you have to go through if you're gonna date an Instagram woman. He looks around. He's totally ashamed. Oh my god. DK Shadow says modern woman. Yes, modern woman moment. They've made an edition of Michael Saylor. Whenever he speaks about Bitcoin, I did realize that he has this okay. And they made a montage of all of the Michael Saylor moments.
Why don't you break this down simply for people like me that don't fully understand?
Oops.
Why don't you break this down simply for people like me that don't fully understand it?
Okay.
If you went out the yield curve on bonds, or if you went in.
Sure.
Do is constantly growing. It's happening as all of these new companies, new.
So let's just start at the beginning, if you don't mind, explaining what is it?
Sure.
Oh my God. It's hard for Michael Saylor, the Bitcoin artist, to stay interested and to respond to always the very same questions from normies. This video is making the rounds on the internet. People are saying this is an example of a policewoman being unfit. She receives order from her partner to use non-lethal force. She doesn't follow it for some reason. She's late at responding. She's not doing anything. And it ends up forcing her partner to use lethal force. Because her partner is like, I'm going to have the real gun. You're going to have the non-lethal taser. But then she doesn't pull the taser. So the guy has no choice. He only has the gun left. And he has to shoot the knife-wielding fat woman.
If I'm not mistaken, it's this building. 1863.
Okay. Right,
you go non-lethal.
See, it says you go non-lethal. So that's a command for her to pull out her taser. She doesn't put it out.
I miss, drop the knife, stop coming towards me.
So you have a pajama single mom with a knife, not super dangerous, but you know, as a police, you have the right not to get this knife close to you. You have the right to protect yourself.
Coming towards me. Stop where you are, miss. Stop where you are. Drop the knife, miss. Casey, taser.
What? At this point, this guy is like, hey, I'm about to kill this woman. And I said to pull out non-lethal force. That would be the right time for you to intervene.
Stop it, you're gonna get shot.
And there you go. Because you were so slow, this guy had to... Because if he doesn't shoot then, he can't argue 5 seconds later that he felt threatened suddenly. He has to shoot now, or he basically... He chooses the path of getting charged by a woman with a knife who could potentially kill him. Very, very slow work here by the woman. I don't know, was she... Did she consider herself on a strike or on vacation? I don't know. Michael Montfort has sent a super chat on Entropy. He says, off topic, JF, but I want to tell you that I had this freelance job and I disagreed kind of bluntly with a female employee who is about the same position as me. A couple weeks later, without warning, I got fired. It made me think of that white woman's tear meme. White knight manager, I guess. Oh yeah, well, I wouldn't worry too much about this. I mean, you're fired because sometimes it's just because they need to fire someone and they're... Yeah, he may have just went for the woman, you know. And sometimes it may be that she has manipulated the boss against you. But in the end, you know, you're fired because the boss doesn't fully need you and wants to save himself the trouble of figuring out whether you legitimately need to be fired. So I wouldn't worry too much. And if you want to be happy and not have to go through these social manipulation things, you just need to find a job where you're alone, literally, and there's no one to manipulate against you. Quicksot says, I don't get JF's support for this murder. No, it's always been my position across the years that it's fine for a policeman to shoot to shoot when someone has a knife and they attack him. I don't think you can be genuinely surprised. I don't know what you're referring to. Why do you disagree? But these people are asking to die. It's probably suicide by cop. Never forget that most of these cases, there are people who choose because they want to be martyred. They don't want to be known as the person who committed suicide. But they kind of like the idea in the current mediatic context of being a victim of police violence. And so they cause their own killing by the police. Rumble was offline for a couple of hours yesterday. I can confirm that this attack has been unprecedented and has been happening since this weekend. I also suspect it is political, coming from activists and or organizations who want to censor our creators, and related to J6 videos being posted on Rumble. Oh yeah, so they're starting to see that the Republicans are organizing around Rumble, and they will go after Rumble through denial of service attacks. Quicksot says, give me a break. This is murder. Where I live, they would shoot her in the leg, not shoot 5 bullets. And the problem is if you shoot her in the leg, then you have and she ends up dying. You end up in the justice court, and you can be actually judged for having not followed the instructions that you received in your courses. Because in your courses as a police, they tell you, if you are convinced that your life is at risk, the most efficacious place to shoot is the chest. It's also the best place to avoid ricochet bullets and lost bullets killing other people. And so it's very important. This is what police learn. Now, you may disagree with this. You may have an argument that leg shooting should be brought back. But that's what police are told in the U.S. So the problem is, if you only shoot the legs, a jury could find that this decision was against your training, that it was irresponsible, that it shows that you were not convinced of the full danger of the situation. Because it shows that, oh, you were relaxed enough that you didn't feel the need to shoot for the best target. You went for a secondary target because you knew there wasn't much danger. Whereas if you shoot the chest, you are in line with your training. You can say, I've acted the way I was trained. And you can clearly state in front of the court that you were afraid for your life and therefore you shot in the most efficient place. As a last news item, Polish far-right MP Grzegorz Braun from the monarchist wing of the Confederation Party puts out a fire. There was a Hanukkah menorah put together with 7 candles for the Jews. And unfortunately, it would seem that this man has interpreted he thought that the fire was a institutional fire. He thought that it needed to be extinguished. He thought that the building was in danger. And so he went with the fire extinguisher. And this is not even a parody. That was actual Jewish music playing as he was putting out the menorah fire. And look, he sprays the... I think there's kind of an Asian woman. I think she's an Asian woman trying to stop... Oh, no. She's not Asian. Maybe white, maybe Jewish. She tries to stop him. And see the way he sprays her in the face? He makes a little puff in her face. All right. Well. Shut it down. Sometimes it just goes the other way. We'll be right back.